We're going to turn to the Word for a message now. I'll keep it brief. The children will be staying in with us. So just because, so if you have children with you, there are some colouring in sheets and stuff on the table at the back there next to the sound desk. If that's going to be helpful for you, for the next little while. Also invite you to grab this out as well. This hopefully you got one of these on the way in your back chat because yeah, maybe this is something that. You can work together on between the parents and the grandparents through the message. Now, just as we make a start, I guess while Grandparents' Day it might not be a thing in the it's not a thing in the Bible, I'll admit that, but there are a lot of grandparents in the Bible. And so I guess just to start off our message this morning, I took a bit of inspiration from last night. We had a trivia afternoon yesterday. I took a couple of photos I put up, but yeah, there was a few of us who turned out for a trivia afternoon yesterday. So thanks for those who did come. I had a good time. I hope everyone else did as well. But so with that in mind, how about we have some grandparents in the Bible trivia? So I've got, if you grab this out, I've got four questions I'll ask, and there's a spot for you to write your answer in there. Now, so question one. Whoop, there we go. Who was the grandmother whose family was redeemed when her grandson Obed was born? Might have come back from a long journey. All right, how about we write it down, and then we'll go through all the four questions, and we'll write it down, and then we'll give the answers. But that may have been the right answer that got called out, in case you heard it. All right, there we go. So the next one, which grandfather was blessed after a difficult time by living to see his children and grandchildren to the fourth generation? Now that I'm thinking about that, I know what it is, but it's a bit more obscure now that when I put it like that, isn't it? Let's just say he was a guy who went through a very, very difficult time, and there's a whole book in the Bible about it, but... All right, I'll give you a moment to write that one down. All right, there we go. Third one. So which grandmother left a spiritual legacy so her grandson became one of Paul's favourite co-workers who Paul personally sent to go be pastor in ancient Ephesus? So, if you remember in 2 Timothy, what was Timothy's grandmother's name? All right, cool. Last one. So, what was the name of the grandfather who was able to bless two of his grandsons in Egypt after thinking their father had died a long time ago? So Egypt is a bit of a clue there. And the book makes a special, particular point of the two grandsons that he gave a blessing to before he gave a blessing to his children. All right, we all set, everyone? Okay. So, who was the grandmother whose family was redeemed? Naomi. Yeah, very good. So we read about that in the book of Ruth. Oh, sorry. Now that you say that, it was in the book of Ruth. Yeah, sorry, but the name was the wrong name that was called out. But I was thinking. Sorry. Yep. So yeah, in Ruth chapter 4. Ruth had a baby named Obed, and then when Ruth had that baby, the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord who has not left you without a family redeemer today. May his name become well known in all Israel." So the grandmother was Naomi, who was Ruth's mother-in-law. Yep. So the second one, who was the grandfather? Any idea on that one? Job. Yeah, very good. Very good. So yeah, at the very end of the book of Job, God restores Job's fortunes, and as a part of restoring Job's fortunes, Job has 10 more children, and then it finishes saying Job lived 140 years after this, and he saw his children and their children up to the fourth generation. So that was God's, you know, blessing Job even more in the second part of his life than the first. All right, so question 3. Who was the grandmother? Lois. Yeah, very good. Yep. Timothy's grandmother was named Lois. And yeah, Paul was really really thankful for the spiritual legacy that Lois had left, which really comes through in that bit in 2 Timothy. Where he says, I recall your sincere faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now I'm convinced is in you also. Okay, and the fourth one, who was the grandfather? Yes, that's right, it was Jacob. So, and yeah, we read about, and he was able to bless Joseph's two sons, and we read about that in Genesis 48. So very good. Okay, cool. Well, thanks everybody for that. Hopefully it was a little bit interesting for you. But so not only are there grandparents in the Bible, I guess, so, and we've just been through a few of them, the Bible also talks about grandparenting. And so I guess the first big idea that I want to touch on today is that grandparenting is a great blessing. I mean, the main Bible verse on this idea is Proverbs 17, verse 6, which says, "Grandchildren are the crown of the elderly, and the pride of children is their fathers." So, I mean, grandchildren are a special blessing that God gives to the elders, and becoming a grandparent is a special honor. I mean, there's some other scriptures as well that fill out on this idea. Psalm 128 starts off saying, "How happy is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways," and finishes by saying that one of the causes of this happiness is such a person is blessed by seeing your children's children. And just as we said before, you know, after God restored Job's fortunes, he allowed Job to have 10 more children after the 10 that he lost, and he was blessed even more than he was beforehand. Because he got to see his children's children to the fourth generation. So I guess if you're a grandparent today, I just want to encourage you and say that you are greatly blessed by God. And I hope you can feel that deep down in your hearts. I can't speak from my own experience. I'm not a grandparent, and hopefully that's still a few years away off yet. But for most of the grandparents I know, I guess this is a point that I don't have to drive home all that hard. Most of the grandparents I know that it's such a great blessing to be a grandparent. I guess it's also a great blessing to be a grandchild of faithful grandparents. And if you've had a faithful grandparent, I'm sure you'd be able to tell us of the wonderful blessing that that is. Now, I'm also mindful as well that, you know, fallen world that it is, not everything always works out the way people, you know, the way we hope either. And I know for some people, days like this, that they can be difficult times for people for a whole bunch of reasons. So sadly, the world is fallen in a lot of ways. And I guess I just want to say, if grandparenting was something that you'd hope for, but it's never really happened for you, or it didn't work out in a good way, yeah, I mean, I'm sorry to hear that. I know there's not much I can say that will make it better. It's always difficult. But But something that the Bible does say in different places and in a number of different ways is that the church, we are a spiritual family as well. We're called to relate to older men as fathers, to older women as mothers, you know, younger men as brothers and younger women as sisters. Paul talked about Timothy and the others under his pastoral care as his children, not his actually, you know, his biological children, but as his spiritual children. And I mean, so did John in his letters. I don't think it's too big a stretch to say, you know, if there's a generational age gap between you, that this idea, it wouldn't be too far to stretch it to say, you know, like a grandparent-grandchild kind of relationship as well. I mean, I know it's not exactly the same thing, but I know that there are people here this morning who have this kind of spiritual grandparent-grandchild relationship as well, and that it's a great blessing for everybody involved when, you know, a more mature and experienced brother and sister looks out for the, you know, for the children of someone who's much younger than them and looks out for them in order to bless them, pray for them. I mean, in any case, it's a great blessing for the church when different generations are looking out for each other and caring for one another and loving one another in a way that loves and, you know, that honours and respects each other. So just, I guess, with that in mind, you know, that grandparenting, whether it's either natural grandparenting or spiritual grandparenting, that with the idea that that is a great blessing, what charge does the Bible give to grandparents? I mean, I was in the room when James was born, and I know I was in the room when James was born. And it was the same when Maddie was born as well. And the same when Judah as well. When they were born, there wasn't a parenting manual that just appeared out of nowhere as well. There certainly wasn't some grandparenting manuals that came along with them for us to give to our grandparents. And that's okay, because most of the important stuff has been written down in the Bible for us all along. So what does the Bible say about grandparenting? Well, there's some key things, and we're going to cover three biblical charges to grandparents this morning. We'll do it briefly because I know the children are in. Then the first one is, be an example for the younger ones to follow. Whether they're your natural children or spiritual children, be an example for the younger ones to follow. Continue to bear spiritual fruit into your golden years. I mean, look at these verses from Psalm 92. Psalm 92, verse 12. The righteous thrive like a palm tree and grow like a cedar tree in Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They thrive in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age, healthy and green. To declare the Lord is just, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. I mean, if you look after a date palm, it can live to about 200 years, and they can still bear a lot of fruit when they're 150 years old. Cypress trees, they grow for hundreds of years. Some even grow up to 1,000 years. And just like the date palm keeps bearing fruit year after year, like the cypress keeps growing year after year, faithful grandparents who set a good example for younger ones will keep growing and bearing fruit year after year. And in this psalm, that fruit is confessing faith in God with your mouth and by what you do. I mean, Titus 2 is another passage to look at. Paul says this, you know, older men are to be self-controlled, worthy of respect, sensible and sound in faith, love and endurance. In the same way, older women are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not slaves to excess drinking. They're to teach what is good, so they may encourage the younger women. So I guess that is to say, the ones who have a few more years of life experience should set a godly example for the ones who are looking up to those who've gone before, to get some idea of where to go themselves. I mean, older men are called to set an example for what a godly man looks like to the younger men and boys. Older women are called to set an example of what a godly woman looks like for the younger ones. I mean, no matter who we are, the people around us see the things we say and do, and they're learning from it. You see little kids, they look at each other, and if one of them does something, often another one does it too. I'm sure Talitha can tell us a number of stories about children who do things, and then other ones copy it, and often not in good ways. I mean, children look at their parents and they copy what their parents do and say. Often the thing they copy the first time you do it is something that you don't want them to copy, even though you've demonstrated something that you do want them to copy 50 times and they still haven't got it yet. But I'm just trying to say that we look to others and we see what they do and we learn. I mean, people look around at other people at church and we take our cues from each other about what we do and say here. Younger people here at church look to those who, you know, who are more mature, more experienced at life than them, who've gone before and done things that they haven't done yet. And they're going to be learning from your example about what it means to follow Jesus as they pass life's milestones. So the charge for all of us is be an example of following Christ that's going to be good for others to follow. When Paul writes to the Corinthians as their spiritual father, he says to them, imitate me as I imitate Christ. I mean, and that's a good thought for everyone here today, for all of us, to imitate Christ so that when others look at us, they have a little image of Christ that they see in us that they can imitate themselves. Now, if you want to grab your handout here, there's a little assignment I've got for the grandchildren now, and which I hope will be a blessing for the grandparents. On your little handout, so under the Bible trivia questions, you can see there's a space there for you to write, you know, to answer the question. I want to follow my grandparents' example in something, you know, in whatever it is. And so it can, if your grandchildren are up to writing something down, or if you can ask them the question so that you can write it down for them, write down something that you look up to in your grandparents, something that they set an example for you that you want to follow, something that they do or something that you think is really good that you hope you can do when you're older. Maybe you like how granddad is a great example for you of serving others, or you like how grandma is a great example of making others feel loved and cared for. If you can write that down, if you're a grandchild, if you can write that down, and then sometime after the service today, you know, make sure you tell your grandparents what it is, because I'm sure that that'll be a blessing for them to hear that from you. So that's the first biblical charge for the grandparents today. Set a Christ-like example. But also, there's also a charge for grandchildren in this one too. Look how your grandparents imitate Jesus and follow that example. Or even, you know, look to those who are, you know, who are older than you in the church and follow their example of how they follow Jesus. So the second charge to grandparents today comes from the reading that Sheena read earlier. I'll read it again for you and listen for the charge to grandparents in here. So Psalm 78, verses 1 to 7. My people, hear my instruction. Listen to the words from my mouth. I will declare wise sayings. I will speak mysteries from the past, things we have heard and known that our ancestors have passed down to us. We will not hide them from our children, but we will tell a future generation the praiseworthy acts of the Lord, his might, his wondrous works he's performed. He's established a testimony in Jacob, and he set up a law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach to their children, so that a future generation, the children not yet born, might know. They were to rise and tell their children so that they might put their confidence in God and not forget God's works, but keep his commands. So, I mean, I guess for all of us, how did all of us hear the good news of the gospel? I don't think any of us were born just knowing it, having it programmed in our head when when we were born. I mean, for all of us, we heard the good news because someone told us. I'm pretty sure, it was a good news story that we all had to hear someone tell us. And the Bible says, whoever tells us that old story has beautiful feet, but how much of a blessing is it when the person telling us that story is someone that we know and love? And they're telling us these stories because they love us. Like grandparents love grandchildren. So I guess the charge here is to tell the next generation these stories of the Bible. Tell them the great things that God has done. Tell them the stories of the mighty acts, the wonderful works, from the story of how God created the world, to how he called Abraham, to how he saved his people out of Egypt, to how he gave his people his good word, how he gave his people a land to live in, where they did live and prosper and multiply, but then how they were punished by God for worshipping other gods and then sent away from the land. But then after a time, God brought them back. Tell them the story of Jesus, who lived and died and did lots of things that were mighty and wondrous and worthy of praise, healing the sick, feeding the hungry, raising the dead, teaching God's word with power. How Jesus died for our sins, opened the way straight to God's throne for us. And then he was raised again from the dead in victory. Because God is more powerful than even death itself. And tell the story of how Jesus was taken up to heaven and how he's now at the right hand of the Father, praying to the Father for us. And that Jesus will come back again and make everything right. And tell them those stories and everything in between. And there's a couple of things about how we tell the stories as well from that psalm. We need to tell them in a way that sounds like good news. Tell them like they are real stories that really mean something to us. Tell them with genuine awe and wonder at who God is and what he's done. Because as the psalm says, we tell these stories so the next generations will put their trust in God. If we tell these stories like they're no big deal, like we feel like we have to tell them, not because we want to, then that's how others are going to feel about them as well. And the other thing is how we tell these stories. And then after telling the story, we train them up to be able to tell the story themselves so that others may hear it too. It isn't just about telling the stories to our children and grandchildren, but our children and grandchildren then going on to tell the stories to their children and grandchildren so that a future generation, a generation not yet born, they will be able to hear the stories too. So we don't just share the stories, we share the telling of them as well. So I've got another little assignment for you now on your little handout. I just realised that the bit that I've got for charge one there should have for children, for grandparents, we'll skip over that. But if we go to the one for charge two, write down there, what is your favourite Bible story? I mean, for grandparents, what is your favourite Bible story? Have a think about that and write it down, because it's good to tell. For grandchildren, what's your favourite Bible story, grandchildren? And then take your time to go and ask your grandparents. Can you tell me the story of Adam and Eve in the garden? Can you tell me the story of how Jesus rose again from the dead? And maybe, if you share what your favourite story is with your grandparents, give them a chance to share that with you. And then after you share the stories, talk about them. What do you learn from them? What do they mean? What do you like about the stories? And I'm sure as you share these stories and talk about them, it's going to be a blessed time for you as a family. So that's the second charge this morning. For grandparents, tell the stories of the Bible so the next generations will put their trust in God. For grandchildren, listen to the stories about God and Jesus that your grandparents will tell, because they're important. These are the words of life themselves. And just quickly, the last charge for this morning. This is another one about telling stories, and it comes from Deuteronomy 4. I'm going to read verse 9, which says, "Only be on your guard and diligently watch yourself so that you don't forget the things your eyes have seen and so they don't slip from your mind as long as you live. Teach them to your children and your grandchildren." Just remember that in Deuteronomy, God has just done amazing things for his people. They were badly treated in Egypt. God punished the Egyptians. He brought them out through the Red Sea. They'd been in the presence of God himself when he came down on Mount Sinai. He provided all the food and the water that they needed. He looked after all their clothes for 40 years while they walked around in the desert so they didn't need to go to the shop and pick up some new shoes. God has done amazing things for them. And here in Deuteronomy, Moses tells them, be careful not to forget all these things that God has done for you. Remember them so you can tell the stories of it, of what he's done to your children and your children's children. And that's the same charge here today. Yes, we tell the stories of what God has done for his people in the Bible, definitely. That's great. We've just covered that. But also tell the stories of what God has done for you personally. The kindness he's shown to you, the grace he's poured out on you, the mercy you've received from him, the times where you felt his abundant compassion and his fatherly love, when he's used his mighty power to do something amazing for you, when he kept pursuing you, even though you were running away from him. And the Bible stories are precious, and these stories of God's eternal goodness to us personally, they're also precious as well. It's important to pass these ones on to the next generation too, and important to be diligent about not forgetting them so we can pass them on. Important enough that God commands it here in Deuteronomy. Now, I understand from what people have told me that it gets harder and harder to remember as you get closer and closer to being a grandparent. But I mean, just an idea, like in our family, on Christine's side of the family, we recently lost an opa, and a great opa for the kids. I mean, something he did, which was a great blessing for the family, is write down the story of his life. And being a great man of faith, like he wrote the story of his life as the story of God's love for him. And I mean, and this story is a treasure within the family, and it's a way that the story of what God has done for him can be shared with future generations and can be remembered and passed on. I mean, that may be something that may work for you or maybe not, but that's just an idea of how we can be diligent about remembering these stories of what God has done for us so we can pass it on to the next. I mean, now there's other charges we could give this morning. Praying for the next generations is one of them. I mean, a great story I'll share with you on that one is one that George Verwer told. And George Verwer was one of the founders of the missionary organization Operation Mobilization, which is a missionary sending agency, which is sending thousands of missionaries all over the world these days. I mean, he didn't grow up as a Christian. Through high school, he wanted to be a businessman and make a lot of money. And he wasn't really fussed about how he did that. And he acted up a little bit when he was at school. And there was an elderly lady in the community who saw, you know, young George acting up. An elderly lady who could have been his grandmother, she ended up praying for wayward young George, you know, fervently for many years. And God answered those prayers so that not only did George become a Christian, he helped found a mission agency so many, many people all over the world have become Christians. I'm just sharing that really briefly just to say that there is great power in praying for the next generations, whether they're your own natural children or not. But that's something we can talk about another day. But as we come to a close now, I just want to encourage the grandparents here, natural or spiritual grandparents here, that God has blessed you. He's entrusted you with wonderful good news of his dealings with his people. He's also entrusted you with wonderful good news of the great things he's done for you. Don't keep these stories to yourself. Think of how you can bless others by passing these stories on. I guess the grandchildren and the younger people here, don't be afraid to ask those who've walked with Jesus longer than you have. Please tell me. Tell me the story about Jesus. Tell me another story about God's love for you. Tell me what he's done for you. And take the time to listen, because there's great blessing for you in those stories. And as these stories are passed down from one generation to the next, as the future generations hear and know God's words and put their confidence in him, may it lead to us all declaring God's praise and every one of us blessing his holy name forever and ever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are our great Father. You have done great things for us. You've loved us more than we could ever possibly know. Thank you. You know, and you sent Jesus to be the example for us to know what it means to truly live. Help us to look to Jesus' example and follow it. But Father, help us, you know, to treasure these stories of what you've done for your people and what you've done for us. Help us to treasure these, to know them, and be able to pass them on to the next generation until all of us bless your holy name forever and ever. Amen.